We were just talking about the earthquake that I didn't feel, but that Noel did. Did you feel the earthquake?
Yeah, we got it too.
No, I didn't feel it.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Now I'm gonna trot out all my best earthquake stories.
If you wanna be in the know about how we put together our little show, if you like to hear the puppeteers play the characters that you cheer, so join us as we go, go, go.
Welcome to Below the Frame. I am Matt Vogel, and I am being joined today by two Muppet performers that I just love, Noel MacNeil and Martin P. Robinson. And we have been talking about puppets that you wear. And that is something that Carol Spinney used to say about what Big Bird was, what kind of puppet he was. People would say, you know, it was a suit or a costume, but Carol preferred to call it a puppet that you wear. And so that is what I call it, a puppet that you wear. So we are discussing puppets that you wear. Noel, of course, played Bear on Bear in the Big Blue House. And Marty plays Mr. Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street. I, of course, play Big Bird on Sesame Street. So we all have this experience with puppets that you wear. So let's pick it back up once again.
Matt, when I went in Bird that day when I substituted, I was surprised. I mean, you put it on, and first of all, it's like, okay, this is great. And then after a few minutes, it seems really front heavy. Yes. Heavy. Yes. It, you know, the back of my these things started burning out. It seems unreasonably heavy to me.
I agree with you, Marty. I've felt that way for years. And he is heavy. And because it's not like, I think in our imaginations, you're thinking that the puppet is just straight up. But it's not. It's leaning forward. Big Bird leans forward to get into the shot or just to look good. And you have to lean to look to somebody. And all the weight is going just down out of my, like I'm holding on for dear life so the puppet doesn't come off of my hand. My pinky is, there's a little lever inside that I'm moving up and down that will activate the eyes, make the eyes go up and down. So that's like one, I'm down one finger also. And believe it or not, the pinky is very important. It's a very important finger to have. So I would love at some point to try to figure out if there was a way to have a lighter Big Bird head. I'm pretty sure there is a way to do it.
as a puppet builder, you know, that's first and foremost is, you know, it's got to be durable, but before durable, it's got to be light. Yes. We got a lot of puppet builders, apologies to any puppet builders watching this, puppet builders who are not puppeteers, who put it on and say this is fine.
Yeah.
And then put it, and then wear it for year after year after year. It used to be back in the day, Carol Spinney at the end of the long season, when it was like a 6-month season, his right arm would be jacked. It was off balance. His body was way off balance. And it was because of the weight.
Yeah. And I think it's just the technology hasn't progressed yet, and maybe it will soon, because I think they're still using the technology that they did when they first started with Carol, and Carol didn't complain.
It's technological inertia. They're building it the old way because that's the way that they built it, and it's just lighter, stronger materials now.
Yes,
L200 didn't exist back then.
Yeah, I'm gonna write an email right now. Can we get done with this?
Didn't I write reinforcement?
They did, I don't use it.
In order to help keep the shape, but also helps helps your arm a little bit in keeping that, because they also put it inside Bear. Yeah,
the Helix.
I remember doing this, the Helix. But I remember I was doing Granny Bird, and Carol was still doing the voice of Granny Bird, and he was doing Big Bird, and this is a song. And they dressed up one of the old birds that didn't have the Helix in it as Granny Bird, and doing this song, and it's like one straight take. And I'm just like lip syncing along, listening to the song, at the same time going like, I'm going to die. My arm is going to die.
Yeah. Like, I've actually found now that working without the Helix takes a little bit of weight off of it, oddly. It takes a little bit of weight out of it. I don't know why I feel that way. But I also just feel a lot more free. And I'm able to move him.
Yeah, the Helix is very stiff.
Very stiff, and maybe that's really what it is. But, I mean, in talking about all of this, this makes me think of injuries. Were you ever hurt while performing your puppet that you wear or a puppet that you wear? Have you ever been injured? I have. I have been, but I'm betting that you probably haven't. I mean, unless you've like fallen. I've never really fallen and had like a big like falling into the orchestra pit kind of Carol Spinney moment. I've never had that, but I have. There was one time, and I don't know exactly what I did, but I do have back problems every once in a while. And whatever I did, I was either we were shooting Journey to Ernie, and I did a like some fast movement. And I my back spasmed out like right in the middle, all the way down to the bottom. Like it was bad, and I could not get in the puppet. And so, so Kevin Clash got in the puppet and was in Big Bird for the opening or whatever it was for Journey to Ernie. While I was just like out. I was on the floor, just like not moving, just in horrible pain. And Kevin came out, and he's like, "That's terrible. That's hard. That's not good. That's hard. That's really hard in there, man." Yeah. Thanks. Have you ever been injured or noticed after going like, "Oh no, I think inside I messed up something."
Every director should have to get inside these characters for 10 minutes before they are allowed to direct the characters. I loved Emily Squires so much, but I just desperately wanted to put her in Snuffy for 10 minutes. So she wouldn't say, "Oh, you can just stay in. Just stay in. We'll shoot the next scene."
To his credit, Mitchell Krieger, at the end of season one, he wanted to get in Bear. And I was more than happy to let him get inside Bear. And it was hysterical. And he said, "We don't pay you enough." And I said, "Please tell me you were recording when he said this."
Yes. Make sure, please, somebody.
Make sure it's known.
Yeah. So no other injuries but me. Just me.
With Bears, like, I remember like going to fittings, they would call me up and say, "No, do you have any time later this week or next week to come in?" And because I still lived close by, I said, "I'll be there in 20 minutes." Because I had a feeling that he and I were going to have this long kind of like relationship. And so whenever I would try something as Bear, it would be kind of like that little voice saying, "Okay, that feeling you're feeling right now, don't do that again." And so it was like this mutual respect. Like, okay, we won't be doing that.
This was not in my...
And that's the other thing I would say to Mitchell or Dean Gordon, who would direct... and I've said this to other puppeteers that I've trained for Sesame like co-productions, is that, you know, if a director comes up and says an idea for the puppet to do this, it's like, you have the right to say no only if you can come up with a better idea. And that's what I would do with Bear. It's just like, they would ask me, "Can Bear do this?" "No, but we can do this." And it was always like better than what they initially thought that could be done.
Yes. So, yes. I have something similar to that. They asked me because, you know, Carol famously would roller skate as Big Bird. He would unicycle. Would do insane, incredible things. And they did ask me.
Trampoline. He was on the trampoline first. Yeah.
And they did ask me one time. They were like, "Well, we really need Big Bird to roller skate." And I said, "I don't do that. But..." and he was supposed to crash. I think he was supposed to, like, the idea was like you would see Big Bird roller skating and then you would hear a crash, and then you would see him like in, it was when we had the low wall where Oscar's can is now, but it wasn't there then. There was the low wall there, right. And I was going to be in that and with my legs out and with the roller skates on. And I said, "Well, I can make it look like I'm roller skating in your shot. Just don't show my legs. And then when you hear me crash, when you hear him crash, then you can reveal me with the roller skates." And that's kind of what we did. Someday I will roller skate in the bird. It's just, it's the opportunity really hasn't completely revealed itself to me yet.
Right. We did the roller skating with Snuffy roller skating.
What?
Where they strapped skateboards onto his feet front and back. It was when we were at the Wolman rink.
Yeah.
In Central Park. Wow. For some remote
25th anniversary video or was it that, like that or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
It in the comments below if you know.
Yeah, somebody
will know.
Knows.
I have no idea.
Remember. Oh, they'll know. They know out there. Oh yeah.
It's a matter of archival history, yeah. But that was a challenge, and we did not fall. We did pretty good. We actually went up on two legs with one leg one foot up in the air and did some turns. You know, I'm not a good skater, but I mean, I have skated and I can skate, but I've fallen in Snuffy a number of times. I mean, every time you scout out the your path, and then some stagehand decides that a box needs to be there.
Yeah.
After I've made
the mental note. Yeah,
the mental map of what's clear, and I've hit a couple of those things and fallen like a ton of bricks. There was another time when the backpack broke. Actually, the aluminum cracked, and the whole thing when I was doing Senor Snuffleupago, and they had a 40-pound sombrero.
Oh, the sombrero.
And yes. The whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, back during those days of kids when we would have sombreros on Mexican characters.
Back, yes. No stereotypes then.
Anyway.
No, not at all.
and so the whole thing has fallen a number of times, but I never got hurt. There's no hard materials in there. And when we fall, I mean, sometimes Bryant has fallen, and when he falls, he pulls me back. I've never been hurt inside Snuffy. I've never been hurt. I would never got hurt inside Audrey 2. Yeah. I've never been hurt inside a costume character, as far as I know.
I would say, like in Audrey 2, there's a pretty good chance you could get hurt. You could. There's
oh, yeah.
a
oh
for
oh,
either
yeah.
for Thank the you. For the feed me point for that for either the two of the t-
well for yeah for either you, two
right
three or four,
either
yeah.
one like you could probably pull something pretty easily, but
and,
I never
and,
did.
But you Matt, you remember. Back, you know, when we were doing the Broadway mm-hmm. run at the Virginia Theater, I mean, you remember the armor
oh,
that
yeah.
we put on?
Yeah,
you know, there was yes. you know that was hockey armor yep. on our legs with you know Kevlar
and, like,
kneecaps.
We had like things on our chest and like because it was like, and what were Marty? We were on like a hydraulic. What were we on? It was like a.
Well, we were on that little curved platform.
Yes.
It had to be curved because it had to describe the inside of the thing, and then there was the universal joint.
We would move
so
it.
we were the point of stillness, and then it all rotated in as a universal joint all around us as kind of the epicenter.
Yeah.
We had to you know to get that you know that was a 300-pound pod, but it was all zeroed out as far as weight goes, but it still had the mass and the inertia. So when you had to turn, I mean, the reason we were all padded up is you had to smash your shoulder and your elbow into that bar to get leverage to get it to turn and grab it here and smash it on the other side to get it to turn the other way.
And then
eight times a week.
luckily there were four of us and we would rotate, so we didn't have to do eight, but yeah. it was still a lot. And I mean, because if you were doing yeah. three, you weren't doing you if you were doing the third pod, you weren't doing the fourth. But it was very difficult, very physically taxing. And every once in a while, like after several shows, and I wonder if you remember, Marty, they would have to go in and realign the bungees that would keep it at zero, because it would stretch the bungees out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, she had to be tuned regularly.
Yeah,
and I would usually do that. That was my job to keep her in tune.
Yeah, because otherwise she would miss,
Anthony,
or she would it would just it would
Yeah, you could feel.
It's really
feel
heavy.
Her, you know,
she would get really heavy. Really heavy.
Anthony Asbury got hurt pretty badly in it twice. He got hurt in Miami, and remember, yeah. And was out of the show.
The pre Broadway run, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he hurt his back in it. So when we opened in Miami, it was just me and Bill Huebner.
And me, I was there too. Yeah,
you were there at the opening.
Yeah, the three of us were in it, and not Anthony.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was when I was weeping with excitement and fear at that first performance because we had never gotten through it. I didn't know if it was possible to actually do the entire show and survive.
And there were certain, I feel like, weren't there shows in Miami that we couldn't, like the plant stopped working and we couldn't go on.
That was when the hydraulic seals exploded.
Yes, that would be the
and
time.
Then hydraulic fluid all over the stage.
Yeah, so we couldn't do the show. We couldn't even pretend to do the show.
couldn't do the show. And there was the time on the Broadway run where the pulleys overhead that held the bungees that zeroed things out, that pulley gave way. The zip ties busted, and that entire pulley system, which was three sizable pulleys, snapped down onto the back of Anthony's hand and really messed up his hand for a while.
Wow.
He took a bad hit. Luckily, nothing was broken or torn. It was just really bad. He bruised all of his tendons back here. But that was my rig and my fault. And I crammed another three zip ties in there during the dentist's number, and finished out the show. So we never that show didn't stop. But I still feel bad about messing Anthony up on that.
No, how does the plant work for the off-Broadway show?
Yeah, it's like for those of you out there, like there are four pods. So there's like the tiny little one in the beginning. Then there's the second one that Seymour, the actor, actually has to puppeteer himself. And then there's pod three for the song Get It or mm-hmm. Feed Me. And then act two, that's when the Titanic's brought in, and that's pod four. And so, like, so pod three, and they're currently from Monkey Boys Productions, Mike Lattini and Mark Petrosino, based on Marty's original designs. And so so for pod three, you're sitting and your legs are the vines and they also twist other vines in you, and you're sitting like this because it's your inside. So you're sitting like this. And because there's the reveal of the plant, and then for the dentist, that's when the curtain, that's when the shop closes up, and that's when they switch out, and that's when they put you into it. And then you're sitting there. So then when the reveal is again, and the dentist comes in, it has a scene with Seymour, and then Seymour has his song with Mushnick and Son and all that. You're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there. And
running out of oxygen.
Running out, because you're breathing your own air.
Meditating, trying to.
So I would sing along, because otherwise I would just probably fall asleep. Because there's no air. And then that's what, and then you have to like do it like this. I'm backing up, and you have to like sit there and like do this with your arm. And then there's the little IFB, the little like little plug-in, so I can hear Aaron or now Major, or if they're not around, then Zakiya's voice and like lip sync along. And then for pod four, it's two people. So there's the pilot, the person up front who's doing the mouth and the head, and then there's the boom in the back, because it's like, I'm backing up now. And so my arm, so this is the front of the pod. And it's like, it's this, it's cantilevered so that you're taking some of the weight off. And the pilot is wearing like a motocross vest that has like padding on the shoulders and
sounds
back
similar.
And the elbows and all that. And then the boom operator is just holding, there's like these two weights, like 50 pounds on each side, just to help take the weight off, and you're like taking the weight off the shoulders for the pilot, which is very interesting when Wesley Chandler Long does it, because Weston's like 12
feet
tall.
Yeah, he's very tall.
And and so he's got the height and the strength. So you're going along with whatever the pilot is doing. Mm. And of course, when Weston does it, it's like a ride from Six Flags because it's going all over the place and you just hang on. But it's beautiful, the stuff that he does. And I, of the pods, pod four is my favorite because I don't, you get to stand, I don't know, somehow I just love trying to do more nuance with it and coming up with these little things, which I've done. So, yeah. And so, and again, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's like, you got to be like, you got to stretch. It's like, I've gone to the gym more times than I ever got in my life just to make sure that I'm in shape just to do this. Because being a swing, I could get called tonight for some
reason. I'll see
reason.
Like your Instagram post and be like, guess who's going to be your plant this weekend?
Exactly. Hey, kids.
Yeah.
What Noel refers to is, I mean, that's the key to all of us or anyone getting inside a wearable puppet is you gotta be in shape. You gotta, you know, all your muscle groups, your core, you know, you gotta have a certain amount of musculature and you gotta stretch out. When I was in my 20s, yeah, I could just do it. I stretch out now, every time. And so I can still do what I used to do. But if I don't stretch, it's just asking for trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to stretch. It's just like,
you know,
before and after too.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was trying to work out a deal with your company, with Equity to get the swing person to be, to rotate in the way Matthew and I did for the brand company, so that you would never actually get that call saying you have to go in now after not having done it for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. So even like 2 months or something. It depends on the situation. It's just like you go in, it's like, you're on. This is like, okay. So
our understudy was part of the crew and wrote, see, the understudy. So we were all the understudy every fourth performance.
Yeah.
Ah.
And
okay,
so then one of us would rotate out, watch from the audience and give notes, and then you'd rotate, back into the go back into the rotation. And then after you did the big girl, which was, which was the main thing, that was when you rotated out.
Yeah. We do have fairly regular, like, understudy rehearsals or when somebody new is coming into the cast. And so then we like puppeteering or I'm now also like a swing voice for the plant, which has not happened. Yeah, I haven't gone on yet.
Wow. Oh God, I want to be there when you go on.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so we've done that. So it's a pretty regular like rehearsal. This week is like the rarest. I can't remember the last time we've had like no rehearsal because the new people are in. Corbin Blue is back. James Carpinello is now the dentist and everybody else. And Audrey is Jinx Monsoon and wonderful. So like,
great.
The comedic timing is incredible.
Great.
It's like, it's so wonderful. It's great.
You say her?
Her. Yes, her.
A female plant voice?
No, it's like Jinx Monsoon is now Audrey, but Zakiya Baptiste is a swing voice for the plant. So Zakiya does Audrey when Major or Aaron are out. And It's funny how everybody does their own little take on it. And with Zakiya, Audrey Chu sounds like this petulant brat. It's really cute. It's sort of like this overgrown, kind of like Veruca Salt, kind of entwined and like, leaves. But it's like this really spoiled child. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's really good. So it does have a different take on it. And because of that, you do like do it slightly differently. Mm.
Course.
True, as opposed to like Major or Aaron, the way they do it. But consistency is also the key. Like having like consistent. Like if you're going to try something new, then tell your plant people.
That's right.
don't just throw it out there.
Well, when we were first putting the plant together back in 82, and just started rehearsal, I desperately wanted to do the voice while I was doing the puppetry.
Wow.
Yes.
So I put together a whole musical audition for Howard Ashman, pitching
right.
You know, pitching myself as the voice from inside. And he was very, very patient and very kind and let me make that pitch. And he said, you know, and afterwards he said, you know, that was a lot better than I expected. And if I wanted Audrey 2 to be Nosferatu, you'd be.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like doing one rehearsal. Zakiya was running late. And so we got up to the point where for supper time. And so I was inside piloting and I just started doing the voice and going along. And then afterwards, that's when I thought, well, wait a minute, why don't I ask if I could be a swing voice? And so I asked and they said, okay, here's the track, send in a sample. I sent in the sample and they was like, okay, so that's how it happened. So lesson is just go for it, kids. But yeah, I was like, but part of me thinks you could do it once. Not eight times a week.
I mean, could you do Feed Me? Could you do that inside there, or would it just be for number four?
I think it's one of those things where it's like you could do it. It's like you would have to like sort of pace yourself, mm-hmm. but you could do it. I want to. I actually, you know, that sadistic part of me really wants to try and do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's like, but could you do it like? You know, every other performance, like
no.
It's like,
Any other experiences inside a puppet that you wear? Like we've mentioned, you mentioned Audrey, too. We've mentioned Sweetums. We've all done Sweetums.
Love that character. I love that.
I love the fact that the handle is still the dresser
still
drawer.
A drawer.
Really?
The Muppet Show. Yes, it's like the dresser
it's
drawer.
Like, I was inside and it's screwed like, oh into God. A piece of wood or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's.
The handle inside Snuffy's lip is the plastic handle of a Clorox bottle.
Wow. I didn't know that. It seems like it would deteriorate or it would just go squishy and over time. Or,
I don't know. Maybe they keep getting new Clorox bottles.
Maybe they do. Any other? Well, and you said Magellan. Noel said Magellan, and Marty, you did talk about some puppets from early before Snuffy.
With the Coca-Cola polar bear, since then he now has a similar like helix inside, and sort of this sort of shaft up through the neck, so that you can pull your arm down and put both arms in, so that you could actually hug somebody, or you could just switch out.
Yeah,
so that's what it is now. And he's much cuter now. Like they worked on the face. He's much more adorable because last May I was in Walt Disney World with my family and went by the World of Coca-Cola. It's like, you can meet the Coca-Cola band. And it was like, oh, sure. Like, come on, let's meet him. And it's like, God bless who was ever inside. But it was like, it was like a more, I think, downsized version where he couldn't like talk. But I remember training the Coca-Cola bear for the World of Coca-Cola Museum
in Atlanta.
And it was that same thing. You could pull your arm down and the head and neck would stay the same. And you would have like a little smile and then you could switch inside again. So, and you would have like a little monitor like through the nose. You could see like a lipstick camera through the nose.
They did a beautiful version of that for some of the international Sesame Street productions, especially the one that was done for the United Arab Emirates, which is this. They did a. It's kind of a camel-based character, and the mouth is the head is on your head, but the mouth is worked by a thing down here, and you're able to get into the arms. At will, just by moving in. So it does all kinds of things where his, where the head is stable and moving, and the mouth just kind of has got a little ambient movement.
Wow.
Hands can do all this. And then you slap on a little piece of Velcro on whatever hand you want to bring in, slap it on, pull out, work the mouth. Then you can slap, then pull it off, slap this one on. and work the mouth from this, or work both hands at the same time. It's a really lovely little system.
That's really cool.
That you
control. And the guy who performed it was so facile at moving, you know, from position to position. You couldn't tell how all three of these things were working at the same time.
Amazing. That's really cool. I want to
really
see that.
Cool.
I want to see what that looks like.
I know.
I got to see that in action.
I'm gonna Google that after we're done.
I'm blanking on the name of the character, but it's the UAE production. I'm blanking on the name of the production too.
All right. It seems like we could just keep going on forever, but I think we should stop for now and pick it up next time with a part three. That's what we'll do. We'll pick it up next week. Thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks, Marty. Thanks, Noel. And we'll see you next time on Below the Frame. Below the Frame is a Welcome Matt production produced by me, Matt Vogel. The theme song was written by Stephanie DeBruzzo and myself and performed by my band, The Mighty Weaklings. Thanks to Dave Holteen at DaveHolteenDesign.com. He created our podcast art. You can follow me on Instagram at WelcomeMattV or search Matt Vogel. I post things every now and again, and it'll help you know when new episodes of this podcast, for example, are coming out. If you are sharing podcasts, please let somebody know about this one. And also, if you have a few seconds, just rate and review this one. I'm sure that pleases the podcast gods or something. You can find Below the Frame wherever you get your podcasts, and we are now a video podcast on YouTube, so you can see our faces if that's something that you want to do. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. I am Matt Vogel, and we will see you next time when we go below the frame. Go, go.